Tov, Reuven Levy, learning with you the book Gan HaShalom from the holy yeshiva of Futshel Chesed in Yerushalayim. We're on page 92, Tzat Hashem, in the Hebrew version. We're coming towards the end of our long chapter on putting our wife in first place. And we are in the middle of a story about a student of a certain rabbi. And this rabbi told his students to come to a certain place on Sukkot. And the students should make every effort to be there. And we were reading a story yesterday. We were learning that one student took it very seriously and said, "My rabbi said I should be there, I'm going to be there on Chag Sukkot. It doesn't matter what my wife thinks, I'm going to go." And he went. And we learned that his wife was not happy at all that he went. In fact, she made his life hell. She was very angry, very against him, very against his rabbi. And the whole year that followed, she was very mean to him, and he suffered very badly as a result. And of course, the next year was coming, rolled around, and he wanted to go again. His rabbi had told him. So Hashem had mercy on him and sent him his old rabbi, Rabbi Shlomi Hirsch, which we learned yesterday from Abraham is not far off Shalom Arash. Basically, what we have here is a story of people going to Uman. The rabbi's written it in a different way for whatever reason. But it's a story of people who want to go to Uman and go against the opinion of their wives who don't want them to go. And we see from here it's not the correct error. Right? You should try and make every effort to go, but if your wife says no, then that's why Shem wants. Shem doesn't want you to go right now. But that's not what this student went anyway. And his wife got very upset with him. So fortunately he meets Rabbi Shlomi Hirsch, who sets him straight. And what does Rabbi Hirsch tell him? He tells him the following: "Lo zu aderech bani, it's not the way, my son. Kasher rabcha tziva lecha litzor, when your rabbi instructed you to travel, hu lo hitkaven shetaros et shalom bayit bishvil zeh, he didn't intend that you should destroy your shalom bayit because of it. Kavnato hayta shetitnaheg b'chokhma v'tatzliach, his intention was that you would act with wisdom and you'd be successful. Hein l'kayem et tzivui v'hein l'shmur ashalom bayit, leading both to fulfill his instructions and to protect your shalom bayit, both are possible. Shalat Tamid, the Tamid asked, Ketzad Eseze, how am I going to do that? V'shana shavra, shayinu shuruyim v'shalom, ishti lo ita mukhana lishma mizeh. Last year, when, before I went, things were peaceful, we had good shalom bayit, she still wasn't happy to let me go. So for sure now, b'chol shekhen achshav, all the more so now, shekavan asati pamachad, I already went once, believe we should, without permission, v'hi koeset al agod, and she's very angry with me. He b'vada lo titen li linsor, she's definitely not going to let me go again. V'shuv etz tarech, litgaber al mania, linsor b'mesiru nefesh. And I will have no choice but to overcome the obstacle and go anyway. She's not going to give me permission from her heart after what I did last year. Amali Amar lo Arab, the Rav said to him the following: Ein lo mesirat nefesh ela kesilut. If you go again with what you call mesirat nefesh, it's not mesirat nefesh at all. It's simply foolishness. Tishma b'kol rabcha, listen to the voice of your rabbi. Shemakir otcha b'katnucha, that knows you very well from your childhood. Tavol ishta, go to your wife. Tagid la sha sita ta'ut, tell her that you made a mistake. Shashana Hashana atalo nosea bli hasgamata. That this year you are not going to go without her agreement. Veganti ten la et daukon betakidla, and give her your passport and say to her, Hine ha daukoshri, here's my passport. And ilo nosea imat lo atsa, I'm not going anywhere if you don't want. Asiti ta'ut, I made a mistake. Vani mechtaelze, and I'm very sorry. Hidrichu oti lo nachon. They taught me wrongly. I got it wrong. They taught me wrongly. Chaverim amruli, friends told me, limsoa alapacha ve'alchamatacha. Friends told me to go, whether or not you're angry, they told me to go anyway. Aval achshav asiti yishuvdat. But now, my mind is settled. Ve'vanti she'at lifnei hakol, and I now understand that you come before everything. At harishana v'chashuvah yoter mikol hanesiyah hazo. You are the most important thing, much more than this trip. Ubiklal, tishaper et kol hinahagut shelcha v'ed yasecha alecha. And generally speaking, improve all of your behavior towards her, your relation with her. V'titen la et hagasha, and give her the feeling shehi chashuva b'einecha yoter mikol. And give her the feeling that she is the most important thing in your life above everything else. V'gantim sayom panui, and also find a free day, but teilech makom sheket, and go to a quiet place, she'ein bo anashim, where there are no people there. V'taseh yom shel tefilah v'tachoninim, and do a day of prayer and supplications. Hit one of those. Even the Rav Shlomi Harosh knows about Hibbadadat, obviously. Tov, Shezu Sugula Baduka Lishua, because this is a great Sugula. That's what Sugula means. It's a great benefit for a Lishua, for a salvation. Rav is there, and this is hinted in the pasuk in Tehillim, which says, "Chaneni Hashem ki alecha ekra kol hayom." Have pity on me, have faith in me, have give me your pain, because I am calling to you all day long. Utvakesh me'aboe, and ask from Hashem shimchal lecha, that He'll forgive you. Al shebagata bishtecha, that you hurt your wife. And ask that He puts into the heart of your wife to forgive you with a full heart. And also ask from Hashem, ask from Hashem forgiveness that you didn't act in a way of emuna. And you try to fulfill the instructions of your rabbi with kochi ba'atzem yadi, with the strength and power of my own hand. V'lo emanta, and you didn't believe, shema ishtacha mitnaged lecha, that maybe your wife would be against it. V'zeh Hashem mitnaged lecha, and that if she was against it, it was also the fact that Hashem was against it. Ki hu rotze shetkayem et tzivui rabcha ayidei ribui tifolot, because Hashem wants that you will fulfill the instructions of your rabbi through lots of prayer, kisufim, supplications, ga'aguim, yearning, ritzonot, and wanting. V'chen tibakesh, and so also you should ask, shizakeh otcha hayom l'harbot tefilot, that He will merit that you will be able to increase your prayers, v'vakashot v'tachoninim, in requests and supplications, ritzonot kisufim, in desires and wantings, that you will merit to travel the next year and then la'otayu to that place in order to fulfill the instructions of your rabbi. After you've done this long tefillah, then at a time of love and happiness and appeasement, right, between you and your wife, speak to your wife at a good time. Find a good time to speak to your wife. Al otanasiya, about the trip. B'tifnei lecha ba'adinut rabah, and turn to her with great sensitivity. U'meirosh todiyala shezera im hi wotsa, and from the start tell her that only if she wants. B'tazbila et ma'alat ha'tikun, and explain to her the great tikun, the great benefit, the great correction, soul correction. V'yet toelet, and the great benefit that will come to every family as a result of this trip. And ask her that you request from her, ask her that she will let you go on the trip this year. And if you see any small amount of opposition, Al titakesh klal, do not be stubborn at all. But tavid Hashem marelacha, and understand that Hashem is showing you shatatzarech odyom kazeh shel tefilah, that you need to make another day of tefilah. But teilech v'taseh od tefilah aukah kazor, and then go and make another long tefilah like this, another long day of prayer. But teida ne'mana, and know faithfully. Shebarega shetiena lacha maspit tefilot, that the moment that you reach enough prayers, ishtacha tishlach otcha baraton, your wife will send you with full desire. Ki biritzot Hashem darkei ish, because when a person walks in the way of Hashem, gam oivav yashlimimo, even his enemies become favorable to him. Hatamid yadashi rabatov machayde watse rak etovato hanitzit. The student understood that his rabbi only wanted the very best for him. Bekir et chachmato amuka, and he recognized his deep wisdom. Et emunata gedola, his great emuna. Lachen shama bakolo, therefore he listened to his voice. Vasa bidyug mashiamalo, and he did exactly what his rabbi taught him. And therefore, just like his rabbi promised him, on the next festival, his wife sent him to that place. And she was even very happy about it. Because in truth, despite the aspect of he had a strengthened heart. So if I ya tamin liot hechlete leloshum pshalot, the student also needed to decide without any compromises. Shehunoseh behima, that he would travel regardless, no matter what. Aval sarif haya ladat ech. So what's he saying? So he's saying, despite the fact that he needed, so not, it's true that the student needed to decide the fact in his heart that he was going to travel without any compromises. Right? Rav Shalom Arush is agreeing that when you want to do something holy, that you should still decide in your heart that this is going to happen no matter what. Right? I want to learn in yeshiva no matter what. This is what I want to do. But first, aval soetrei taladat eilin natseg latsiget avoyin. But I need to know how to act properly in order to achieve this. Right? I want to do something holy. I want to go to shiurim. I want to. But my wife is against it. I need to know, first of all, that it's correct to have a strong heart to want to do something holy. Right? I need to have that power, that koach. But I also need to know how to act properly. Ech legeshet l'chol inyan im ishto, how to approach every matter with my wife. Shelo yela shum tachut, that there won't be any competition. Im hanesiyat shelo lo toira, for there won't be any competition, for example, with the trip to that city. And when my wife tells me no, I need to understand that when my wife is telling me no, the meaning is that it's Shemayim that's telling me no. My wife is telling me no, I don't want you to go. I have to understand that in Shemayim, that's what they're saying. And this just tells me that I need to make more prayers. So what's the story here? The story here is whenever your wife tells you no, she wants to stop you doing it, you should know it's from Shemayim. It's not your wife telling you no, it's Shemayim telling you no. And Shem is telling you no. Now the question is, why is he telling you no? There's two options. Either he's telling me no because it's not good for me, don't do it, it's going to be damaging to you. Or he's telling me no, it's going to be good for you, but you're not ready yet. You need more prayer, you need more tefillah, you haven't got the vessel, there's something I want to teach you. Right? So here, for example, I need to work on my Shalom Bayit first, I need to put my wife in first place, and that's more important, and when I've done that, then I can get whatever it is that I want. So how do I know which one it is? Maybe my wife comes to me, I say to my wife, you know what, I think it's going to be really good I think it's going to be really good that I grow a beard and long pears. Right? I think that's going to be really good. And my wife says, no way, I didn't marry you with a guy with a beard and long pears. I married you. I don't want you looking like something that's not appealing to me. So it's potentially a holy spiritual endeavor to grow beard and pay up. Potentially, it's not always, but it could be. How do I know now if Shemayim is stopping me because it's not a good thing for me to do? Or Hashem just wants me to pray more about it and to build up my vessels so I can be a person who has a beard. Person with a beard and peyot is making a statement. He can't just walk in the street and throw litter. It's a chilul Hashem. People are going to expect things from me, right? It's not standard that you can walk around like that, looking like a frum Jew and then act like an idiot, right? So maybe Hashem just wants me to pray more and work on myself. How do I know? Maybe I should just drop the whole thing. So the answer here is the same in any case. The answer here is to do prayer. To pray to Hashem and ask Him, what's going on here, Hashem? Should I just drop this idea? It's not a good thing. I'm really not ready for it. I want to look like my rabbi, but I'm really not my rabbi. And I just, you know, I want to have the outer clothing when I haven't changed my underpants in 3 weeks and taken a shower. When on the inside, it's not there yet. The inside, I'm still surfing the internet and looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at on that, right? Yet, I want to look like a holy from Jew because I want to look like the pot, even though it's not, right? So maybe I should just drop it or maybe my wife, I should just listen to my wife. She doesn't want me to have a beard and long payoff. She said, no, that's it, forget it. So what Maris is saying here, anything that you want to do that's holy, in fact, even if it's not holy, you just made a mistake, you should do the same thing anyway. You should just pray. You should pray. What's prayer going to help? So prayer is going to clarify to me what exactly is going on. What's going on? I came back from the shiva. I saw someone with long pears and a big beard, and I was very impressed. I want to be like him. So I came home and said, I want one too. My friend came on a big, brand new red motorbike, and I came home and said, can I get one too? Right? It's the same thing. We're still, just add a few more years and a few more wrinkles, but we're still kids underneath. He's got one, I want one. Right? Why do you want a new pair of trainers? Well, because my friend's got a new pair of trainers, pair of sneakers. Right? Because my friend has. So we're the same. So maybe I just came home from yeshiva and I saw it look good. I want a long black coat. I just think I should buy one. I want a hat. Why not? So I should pray about it. What's that going to do? So, most important, it's going to clarify for me what's actually going on too. I can't pray on something for more than 5 minutes, really, if it's not really, well, top. If I'm praying properly, I'm going to see that it's not real. Hashem, give me a long black coat because I want to look like my rabbi. No. Because I really want, if I don't have it in me, I can't make the prayer. I don't have the, it's not real. The prayer that Lihit Palel will reveal to myself. If I want to go to Uman next year, and my wife says no, and I say Hashem, and I go and do what the Rav says, which is to go and pray on it. What am I going to pray? Hashem, I want to go to Uman. Why? Well, it looks like a party and everyone's going. Or the reason I want to go is, well, everyone else in the shiva is going, and if I don't go, I'm going to look dumb. Or they're all going to point the finger at me and say, you're not a proper Breslover if you don't go. Right? I have to be truthful to Hashem. So I'm going to clarify to myself why I actually want it. And if I want it for a dumb reason, like they're all going to make fun of me if I don't, or it looks like a laugh, why not? Right? Then I'm going to realize that it's not something I want. And I'm going to drop it. Or, if Hashem has mercy on me, I'm going to think about the proper reasons. You write Hashem. I don't want to go to Uman because it's going to rectify my neshama. And it's going to make me into a better Jew. And it's going to teach me how to pray and teach me how to be closer to the Sadiqim. And all these wonderful things that I'm going to get from it. And that doesn't interest me. Oh, it's interesting it doesn't interest me. Why is that not interesting me? And I'm going to Bezrat Hashem with enough prayer. Hashem, help me actually want these things for good reasons. I'm going to change myself. Hashem's going to have mercy on me, and I'm going to realize that I'm doing it for selfish reasons. I want to have a new, even with Parnassah, Hashem sent me more Parnassah. Why? Why do I want more Parnassah? So that I can, if there's a good reason, I'm going to clarify that good reason. My children need to eat. My wife needs to dress in a sneered way. She needs to have clothes. That's a good reason. But if the real reason is, well, I like a new car, really. Or, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, I like to eat out in restaurants, and I can't eat out in restaurants because I haven't got enough money to do that. Or if I clarify myself, I'm going to see what the truth is. Right? Prayer is going to reveal to me what I don't yet know. If I'm being honest. And it's also going to fix the problem then. If I want to go to Uman, and I clarify myself, Hashem, really, actually, you know what? Truth is, I haven't really thought about why I want to go to Uman. And I was just doing it because, why not? Everybody else is going, and seems like a good thing. So now I'm actually going to clarify, why is it important? Is it important? Hashem, if this is important for me to go, please put it into my head to understand why it's important. Rav Arash is saying I should go. Rav Jor is saying I should go. Actually, for me, I don't really care. It doesn't mean anything to me. Looks like a waste of time. And I don't understand what's going on here. Why don't I have any desire to go? Hashem, please show me what's going on. Am I making a mistake? Should I really actually be going there? Is that going to be helpful for me? Or actually, is it better for me just to stay at home? Or what? Hashem, please give me the right advice. I don't know what to do in this situation. Should I actually grow a beard and pay out or not? Should I stay in Kollel for an extra 3 hours? Or should I go and get a job in the afternoon? Right? Hashem, you have to tell me. I don't know the answer. Put it into my heart. Give me clarity. And then Rabbi says, once you have clarity, then stick with it. Stay with it. Because to gain anything valuable, we have to have a vessel for it. We have to build desire and kisufim. We have to build a desire for it. The desire for it is the vessel. The desire is what's going to carry me through. If a person wants to get married, and he doesn't really care about getting married, but why not? Everybody else is doing it. may as well get married. Then his marriage is going to be a disaster. Because I didn't really want it, I wasn't really bothered, and my vessel for taking difficulty in that marriage is about this big. However, if I had to struggle for it, and it's something that I wanted it for a long time, and I prayed on it, then when the difficulties come, the difficulties are minor. Tom, there was a problem, doesn't matter. I'm married, boy, Hashem, I'm married. Thank God, finally. Right, and I've got a big vessel to take all the ups and downs and the problems and etc. that's going in. The same is true with anything, each according to the value of that thing. Right? The something that comes easily, without any effort on my part, I don't value very much. Right? If I get a new bike as a kid, new bicycle, without really even wanting it. So I'm not going to, I got a new bike, I don't really care about it. I'm going to leave it, it's going to get rusty, the chain's going to fall off. I'm not going to be interested in it. As soon as it gets a puncture, that's it. However, if I had to save up for it, for weeks or months and years, with my pocket money to get a bike, I'm looking after that. I invested a lot into it. I built a big vessel for that bike. The same is true with the things that we pray for. Sometimes we need to pray a lot on something till we appreciate it, that it's meaningful, that we don't devalue it, particularly something like Shalom Bayit, our wives. A person wants to move to Jerusalem, a person wants to have a big Yeshua, he wants something big, he's asking for something big. If he gets it for free, I'm going to devalue it. I'm going to disgrace it. I'm not going to see the gift that Hashem gave me. And when I get tested, I'm going to drop it. I'm going to run. Because I didn't invest anything in it. So we do need to invest in our prayers. That's the length of time that we're putting into prayer. It has value. I'm investing in it. I'm putting myself into it and I'm sticking with it no matter what happens. So what does that mean? In the case of the woman, it means that if I prayed a lot and it was a struggle to get there, mamash a struggle, I had to save up the money, I didn't have enough money, I had to save it up, and I had to persuade my wife, and I had to go to the field to pray. When I get to Uman, Baruch Hashem, I'm there, and nothing in Uman is going to put me off. The fact that the music's too loud, the fact that I can't get near the Sion because it's too busy, the fact that I got elbowed in the face while I was trying to dab in my tikkun klali. Who cares? I'm here. And I'm making the most of it. And I love it. And Baruch Hashem, thank you that I got here. But if not, if I get given a free trip, if my friend calls me up and says, hey, do you want to come to Uman with me? And I say, what's Uman? He said, trust me, come, I'm going to pay for you. Okay, fine, I'll come. So I'm the same guy when I arrive there. The music's too loud. I can't even get the sea on. I get elbowed in the face. I had a terrible time. I hated it, and I'm never going back again. So I didn't build up any desire for it. It was like, it was given to me as a free gift. It's a completely different experience.
First two times.
Yeah.
And now, let's see the third time. First time I go only because my wife pushed me.
Right.
The opposite. So my wife pushed me very, very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And go to Uman.
Uh-huh.
So the first time I was in Uman, I said, I don't want it. You look at the guys here, the dirt, all dirty, everything is nice. Uh-huh. Okay, now I understand. Now I have to decide where to go.
Right.
But the first two times, it's not so strong.
Uh-huh. So when we get
sometimes Hashem walks differently. You understand? You say you have to pray that your wife let you go. So sometimes your wife pushes you.
And then now I have to work on it. Right, yeah. Now I have to build vessels through prayer for everything, particularly Shalom Bayit, educating kids, difficulties in learning, Parnassa, to build vessels that are going to carry me through. Because if I don't pray on it, I get given it as a free gift. I don't value it. It's meaningless for me. It's like easy come, easy go. Fine, I got given it, and I'm gonna.
Okay, the first time when I was in the airport in Tel Aviv,
yeah,
it was a problem with my passport. When I go to Uman. So obviously you cannot fly.
Right.
Almost like the test.
Achan.
So
you have to.
Yeah, yeah. The police, the sheikh, you illegally visa, so you can fly, but you cannot come back.
Right.
So, but you have to choose. So now I was in between to go or to go back. You know, on the other hand, when I go back, I have a problem with my wife. You know?
So
which pushed me to go. I said, okay, I go. I will see a kacha. So this was like the test.
We see that if for Oman, there is a lot of obstacles to go. Obstacles beforehand, and obstacles when you get there. Obstacles beforehand, your wife is going to be against it. You're going in the middle of Hag, of Rosh Hashanah. You're going to the middle of, once you get there, you're in the middle of the worst goyim in the world. Right? The place is not very clean at all. It's a big mess. So why all of those obstacles? Right? If we bring him to Jerusalem and we have him here, then we can all spend a very nice time and there will be no obstacles at all. It won't cost you any money, you won't have to travel, you won't have to leave your family, and it will all be right. But there won't be any obstacles. But the reason is because there are obstacles that create something that you don't otherwise have. It creates a desire to be there. Everyone who's there is because they want to be there. And the benefit through prayer and through desire is from wanting. If you're just there because you're a tourist and you happen to be there, it was one of the stops on the trip, I didn't achieve anything. I didn't build anything. To build through prayer, prayer is from the heart. There's no prayer which is from where a person just reads it and he achieved almost zero. But prayer, what's the power of prayer? When it comes from deep inside that I actually have a yearning, a desire, and a want. Right? And that's the whole Indian of being there on Rosh Hashanah. There's no point being there, little point being there, if you're just there to take pictures of the sights and the chavaya, the experience, right? I'm there because it's difficult and I really want to be here. And I appreciate what it means to get here.
I think that the difficulty is, this is the tikkun, when you go to Oman, you understand?
Yeah.
I think this
it's part of the difficulty.
This is the example. Rosh Hashanah, yeah? Rosh Hashanah. When I came to the tent to have the kiddush and food, there was nothing more.
Yeah.
I cannot make my kiddush. There was no food, nothing. And the first time I had no Rosh Hashanah dinner, yeah?
The Rebbe knew that was going to happen. What did the Rebbe say? The Rebbe said, come, says whether you eat or don't eat, whether you sleep or don't sleep, whether you pray or don't pray, just be there. Why did he say that? What on earth made him think that you wouldn't eat, sleep, or pray? When he was talking, there was like half a dozen, there was like 20 people coming, 40 people coming. He knew that when you come, sometimes you're not going to be able to eat, sometimes you're not going to be able, sometimes you're going to be able. It doesn't matter, you just need to be there. You just need to be there. There's not a shame, we should all merit to be there, and to all get to all the holy places that we all want to reach.